cuidar el planeta. Recuerdo una frase que escuché de un anciano hace muchos años. Dios siempre perdona las ofensas, los maltratos. Dios siempre perdona. Los hombres perdonamos a veces. La tierra no perdona nunca.
Jumelang, Muweni, Sani Bonani, Apshweni, Dumela, Hoyamora, good morning. I'm Bernie Crewe Brown and you are now listening to Ledata Si, our journey on caring for our common home here on Radio Veritas. Ah, Radio Veritas at least is one place where we know it's the good news for a change, because today I'm not feeling like there's much good news around. In fact, there's so much happening that I feel it's important to bring these issues, these hardships, these negative impacts to the program today, instead of just looking at what we can do and how we can do it. I'm going to address the problems today, the problems existing right now. But let us begin with hopeful prayer, so that we have good foundations to addressing the problems, and hopefully with our prayers and addressing them, they will all turn into new hope and dreams come true. So we're going to pray Psalm 145, part of Psalm 145. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is kind and full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. How good is the Lord to all, compassionate to all his creatures. The Lord is just in all his ways. All your works shall thank you, O Lord, and all your faithful ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your reign and declare your mighty deeds. The Lord is just in all his ways. They shall make known your might to the children of men and the glorious splendor of your reign. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule endures for all generations. The Lord is just in all his ways. The Lord is faithful in all his words. The Lord is holy in all his deeds. The Lord supports all who fall. The Lord raises up all who are bowed down. The Lord is just in all his ways. As we hear the words of Psalm 145. We ask you, O Lord, to enter our hearts that we have opened to you this moment, and to help us to empathize with the people that we are going to, that will be brought to the fore in our discussions, because we know that the cry of the earth and the cry of the people, the poor, are the most affected in climate, in this climate crisis, in the problem with ecology in the world today. We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as I said, we are going to continue with the issues today, and remembering that I am recording the program 5 days before it's aired. So 5 days ago. 5 days ago, it was highlighted that the Minister of the Department of Fisheries, Forestries and Environment was fired. Not given notice, not told at the end of his tenure there will be a change. He was fired instantly because he didn't keep to government or to the parliamentary discussions yet. I'm sure by now we all know the facts. Yet, from what I'm gathering, and I pray that when we are listening to this, I am wrong. Minister George, Dion George, wanted to tell the world stage at the Conference of the People that South Africa is phasing out land hunting, phasing out the the gross atrocity of killing. It's inhuman because a human person killing a lion that is in a cage almost was ending. And if this is the reason or not, there were other stories that he apparently wasn't a very nice man to his employees, and he disappointed in a few areas. But it is clear that perhaps he wasn't making enough money for the DA to look good in our GNU and for the country, where now Willy Okump, who heads up or is totally involved in wildlife hunting, is now stepping into Dion George's place, and he is possibly, his mandate is make more money out of the environment, out of our wildlife. I might be wrong, but this is what is frightening, and this is the first thing that I will bring to mind. And let us think about it, and let us listen to lions. Let us listen to lions roaring. And let me tell you something else that I found sad. Looking online to try and find a video of the sounds of the wild, with the lion in the wild roaring, I couldn't find anything but this one with a lot of noise, because it's a compilation of all the lions that have been seen and recorded roaring in zoos, including San Diego Zoo, ZSL, London Zoo, Cotswold. So, listen to them. And when I see the cold breath coming out of their mouths as they roar, with the fence behind it and the kikuyu grass underfoot, they're also canned. And then,
enjoy the song, The Lion Sleeps Tonight,
sung by those who composed it and sung it first, the Titans. Children's children might not get to see the great king of the jungle, the lion. Never mind the rhino, the pangolin. I haven't seen a pangolin myself. The chances of me seeing one is actually probably zero. The elephant, the buffaloes, the leopards. Cheetahs are struggling as well because they are vulnerable to infections and they pick up diseases quickly, which are spread around. And then, of course, our chacma baboons that one was killed last week along our Clarence Drive. Now that it's becoming warmer and more people are travelling on the road, it's supposed to only be have a speed limit of 60. Why the baboon was knocked over and killed, I'm not sure. And it lay there on the road, but the cars were still passing it by and the troop were all around because they are social animals and they have rituals. And when they lose somebody, like the elephant, who, like all animals and birds, they mourn. So it was really sad. And there's still talk about euthanizing troops down in the southern peninsula, and all sorts of things happening around us. And the overthinkers of this, the what they call the baboon huggers, that are feeding the baboons. They don't realize. They attract them onto their places with food and then enjoy them because they are enjoyable to watch. But then the habit is set in that the baboon does not need to hunt in the wild anymore. The baboons are clever. They adapt. They are a very clever species. Let's go back to the rest. There are so many that are adapting and changing their habitats, their lifestyles. And because of this, they are slowly but surely becoming extinct. Besides the trophy hunters and a quick story, because I need to tell you lots about all the sad things happening in the world at the moment. But I did a game rangers course 30-odd years ago. Just me, and I think there were 6 men. It was at the Moholoholo Wildlife Sanctuary up in the Klaseri Mountain area. And it was an incredible experience, which was the start of my journey of really wanting to be part of caring for God's creatures and our common home. But this was 30 years ago. And on the course were 2 hunters, 1 specific hunter. And I was then called the bunny hugger. And I was told in no uncertain terms that hunting helps preserve and conserve wildlife. It is such a lucrative industry that the money brought in from killing a lion in a cage or in a fenced off little yard, the money made there will help nature reserves and centres like the Wildlife Centre look after and do so much more in the wildlife environments. And I argued and fought for the fact that if killing a wild animal is done with a sustainable attitude, where the species will continue healthy, strong, with able to resist stresses and strains and shocks and survive and grow and thrive. Unless that happens whilst the elder animal of that species was taken out for purposes of food, purposes of whatever, it was at its age, and perhaps, yes, by a tourist. Maybe that could be considered sustainable. But it's not like that, and we all know this. How quick things have changed. I haven't seen a rhino in the natural game reserves safely enjoying the surrounds. We'll probably never see rhino horns because they've been cut off so that the animals are not poached. Elephant. There's also now going to be a change with tusks. If it's happening for lion bones, they're going to go for tusks as well. Pangolin skins. And what about the horns of the antelope? Everything. It is so sad. It is, and Now that our government and our DA in the GNU, the ones who I thought did have sustainable attitudes, seem to be also in a state of non-resilience and are using these methods to cope, these methods to mitigate situations, which will be a huge adaptation in our wildlife. And as I said, children might not get to see these wild animals, certainly not in their natural habitat. As I'm recording to this program for you tonight, it is evening. I've had, as you know, alterations being done to my home, and the noise level has been high all day. So I'm recording in the evening, in the sunset. Beautiful. Over the mountain and the sea, it's very warm, windy as well. And with the wind is the amazing cloud formation. But sadly, for the last 6 days, the cloud formation has been a brown colour, because in the Bredasdorp area of the Overberg, Overstrand, there has been a fire raging and not put out. Wildfire season is back. And last year was all over the Western Cape. Fortunately not here in Pringle Bay, but you know, the year before, we had also a 7-day fire around us. That killing off, never mind the animals and insects, the wildlife, the tortoises, the mongoose, the porcupines, the bird life that didn't manage to get out, but fortunately birds can fly. And then the loss of plant life. But another thing is happening right now as well. Apparently it's the poaching of the wildflowers in our natural environments. People are going for walks and digging out ericas and proteas and all the others, and taking them. And apparently this is also becoming a thriving poaching industry. She's really, really sad. So let us pray very strongly that fire does not dominate this summer season. Let us listen now to a song that was sung a long time ago, "We Kill the World" by Boney M.
Don't kill the world, don't let her down. Do not destroy basic ground. Don't kill the world, our means of life. Lend ear to nature's cry. Don't kill the world, she's all we have, and surely is worth to save. Don't let her die, fight for her trees. Pollution robs air to breathe. Don't kill.
Just to be sure that we're all on the same page, the majority of wildfires are started by human beings. In the United States, there's even 85% campfires unattended, burning of debris, equipment and malfunctions like happened here, the electrical
problem in the hotel. Negligently discarded cigarettes and acts of arson. But the climate situation, the extreme dryness, the extreme vulnerability of the area because it's dry, makes the area more combustible. But so through the tiniest little issue that a human causes can cause a fire. But the natural causes are, as we know, lightning, and contributing factors is climate change. This is a major factor that creates ideal conditions for wildfires, as I said. High temperatures and prolonged drought dry out vegetation, making it more flammable, and then strong winds increase the risk of large and destructive fires. Vegetation. An accumulation of dry vegetation, including invasive plant species, need to be cleared from all areas because they serve as fuel and can increase the risk and intensity of fires. So, indeed, it looks like 90% of all fires are made by humans, or the responsibility of humans. So we move now from fires back to human responsibilities and human behaviour and the sadness I'm feeling. And it's human anger, human devastation, human sadness, human greed, corruption. Here in South Africa, on last week, 7 people were murdered at a taxi rank. Not one, not 2, 7. And so when you hear Donald Trump make his statement that he's not coming to G20 because Afrikaners are being killed, well, he's not totally wrong, but it's not Afrikaners, it's people. People are being killed in South Africa. And indeed, why can't we control this? Why can't the governance of the country control this devastating, growing destruction of humanity? Why can't we get involved with this gangsterism on the Cape Flats and the current taxi warfare? It's to me ludicrous that we have to hide my head in shame that my country is behaving like this. And then the violence on the innocent. Women and children mostly, gender-based violence, the weaker sex. And it starts with verbal abuse, it starts with behaviours, it starts with, indeed, also the sorrow in families where the anger inside, internal anger when a household parent can't provide, when they can't put food on the table, and angst created inside them can be flamed into violence, into criminal activity, and being open to corruption. All that is happening in our dear rainbow nation, South Africa, at the moment. And then remember that it always also comes back to the fact that the way development has taken place has had less of the natural environment to support. So it always can come back to the climate situation, the climate crisis, the ecology, the biodiversity. If we were able to grow our own vegetables, which a lot of people can't, we would have less hunger. Having less hunger would motivate people to work better, to achieve their full potential in a better way, and would bring peace into their hearts. We're going into the 19 days of activism against women, 19 days to focus on it. And it is so important.
And again, we come back to the innocent and the voices of those who are most affected by climate crisis. Yet we know for this COP30, G20, they haven't been heard. There's definitely been a lot of closed doors, and apparently still, and a lot of people are planning to protest and, well, we know some countries have boycotted, but for different reasons. And that is where we come to now, the governance of countries and the leadership that is or isn't happening. And it comes back to the first thing we spoke about, what's happened within our society, how a person can just be axed, even though he was actually performing a good job of caring for the environment, the forestries, the fisheries. There was action, far more action, visible transparency than I've seen in a long time, and he can be axed. With this G20 and COP30, these events are very expensive. And is it absolutely necessary for that great expense? This is where we come back to a circular economy, or an economy that feeds the nation, a common economy that the nation, the people, can benefit from in ways that they can reach their full potential. That is something when we look at the absolute horrific expense on all the symposiums towards the G20, and when we look at it, how many people were involved, how much was spent, and yet how many were left out. And as we go into this week with the G20, let's be mindful and observe and then share, so that the future, maybe change can happen, because we know things can change. And the world can become a better place. So let us sing along and dance along. Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts by songwriter Graham Kendrick. It was shared with us. It was the song we used in our parish last week. And I think it's quite appropriate, because we need to know that it's Jesus who can take me out of the doldrums today, but can also take us on that ecological conversion journey where we can all live together, happily and in harmony. And then after that very rhythmic song, you're going to listen to The Church Forests of Ethiopia. And the reason I'm sharing it is because this is how the whole world is going. And it's actually so evident. But when you look at Ethiopia's forests disappearing, this story of the Ethiopian church forests resonates for me in how the world is going. Clearly evident in COP30 and the countries involved and where it is, and COP and G20 in South Africa, in Africa.
Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of He made us one.
church forests of Ethiopia.
An Ethiopian Orthodox teaching a church to be a church should be enveloped by a forest. It should resemble the Garden of Eden. A 100 years ago, the highland was one big continuous forest. That big continuous forest has been eaten up by agriculture. It is the church who has protected this forest and who has safeguarded them from destruction. It's only because of the patronage and the blessing of the church these forests have survived. Church forests are always in my childhood memories. I used to go with my family for Sunday Mass, for holidays. We have been always told that God gives mercy when you pray here. So the spiritual connectivity is so strong. The more I study them, the more I understand them, the more I see their problem, their importance, their significance, and then I end up being hooked with this forest, you know.
Over the past century, nearly all the Ethiopians' native forests have been cleared to make way for farming and cattle grazing. Since 1992, forest ecologist Dr. Alimiu Wasi has been working with priests and communities to save Ethiopia's rapidly shrinking biodiversity. Every plant contains the power of God, the treasure of God, the blessing of God. So when someone plants a tree, every time it moves, the tree prays that for a person to live longer. This is Abba Geber Miriam Alien, an Ethiopian Orthodox priest. Just like we cultivate a new generation, we need to cultivate the forest. We need to keep it disturbing the young trees, and the old trees are gone. There will be nothing to replace them. That's why they have a wall, it's very important. If the church loses its forest, it will lose itself. They built a wall to keep the cattle out.
The idea of making a wall
is to conserve the forest.
Came from the church itself. If you see the rural church, they have a wall to protect the inner circle, which people think that's the most sacred place. So let's move that wall to the outside and include the forest as part of the church itself.
The sacred place.
We are making a barrier, not excluding humans, a barrier against cattle grazing, so that regeneration and the health of the forest can be sustained. The church has been protecting the forest for centuries. But the forest in turn has been a guardian. It was a kind of mutual benefiting. The church itself was built from this forest. inner wall of the church has been painted. And all those pictures, scriptures and murals were made out of tree leaves, roots, barks and flowers 800, 700, even 1,000 years ago. They are living by one another. They are embedded to one another. The church is within the forest is inside the church. An ecological term, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. There are millions of other creatures. There is so complicated, sophisticated interaction you cannot explain. Because of the coexistence, there is what we call emergent property. It's a new hybrid character. The mystery is to think beyond what we see.
To think beyond what we can see.
There is a problem always, a misperception that this forest would stay forever. We don't have any other backup. To safeguard the Ethiopian biodiversity, it is only the church fault. If we lose that, then that's all.
The forest used to come up to this point. The border is unknown. So the new generation and farmers keep eroding the boundaries of the forest. That's why the stone wall is helpful.
The biggest challenge is to open the eyes of the community to show up these forests are really disappearing. They think always they are there forever.
We always think everything is there forever.
The church forests are the blueprint. You can understand what kind of ecosystem, what kind of biodiversity, what kind of forest we had before. Everything is important and interlinked. So if you really care, we have to respect trees, the role of trees, and we have to learn to live with forests. We can bring back the landscape given that this church forest exists. That's my hope, that's my vision.
So these small forests around these churches are the pockets that are being left around the world. And that it's a church is why I'm sharing it with you. That is the center. And the importance of the ecosystem and every part of it around that church, around where the presence of Jesus, the presence of our Creator God is alive for us, and what how we need to protect our community, our homes around that center is something that I thought, with what is going on in the world, just a different way to see and reflect on it. So 2 days from now, the 20th, we have the anniversary of the launch of the Laudato Si Action Platform. And as I said to you last week, it is a place for you and I to go
to grow our ecological initiatives, efforts towards integral ecology. And then after the 20th, we start the G20. And just to give us a little bit more of an understanding of what is going on, just want to share that the way the G20 started, the history, it's interesting to note another decade anniversary. This G20 is the 20th G20, 2025. And it's the group meeting of the Group of 20. Heads of state and government planned this time for the 22nd and the 23rd of November. It will be the first G20 summit held in Johannesburg and on the African continent. South Africa assumed the presidency last year on the 1st of December to now, approximately 5 years ahead of the United Nations Agenda 2030 deadline. It's actually quite frightening to realize we have 5 years to go to the 2030 agenda. There are high expectations that South Africa will leave a progressive, people-centered, development-oriented and solution-oriented presidency in the fractured global geopolitical context until it hands over the presidency to the United States. I believe that the Democratic Party will be present. They will probably receive this. South Africa's participation in the G20 is guided by its four strategic foreign policy pillars: national interests, the African agenda, South-South cooperation, and the most important, multilateralism. And this summit topic is solidarity, equality, and sustainability. And this theme reflects South Africa's intention to build one of the efforts and successes, build on the efforts and successes of the last three G20 presidencies of the Global South, and to advance the development agency. Through solidarity, South Africa seeks to achieve a people-centered, development-oriented, and inclusive future. In an interconnected world, the challenges facing one nation affect all nations. By promoting equality, the country seeks to ensure fair treatment, opportunities, and progress for all people and nations, regardless of their economic status, gender, race, geographic location, or other characteristics. And then sustainability is about meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So the countries involved, as I said, the only one in Africa is South Africa, but it is also the African Union. So the other countries are involved through there. And that is Angola. That's the head of the African Union. But the European Union is there. But we also have quite a few from Europe countries, Italy and Germany and France. We have Canada, we have China, we have Argentina, Australia, Brazil, India, Indonesia, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Saudi Arabia, us in South Africa, as I said, South Korea, Turkey, United Kingdom, and, well, there are two European Unions. Antonio Costa, who's the president of the European Council, and Ursula von der Leyen. So it's just to understand why we only have one African country, which I don't understand, because we should have more. I don't know why Kenya's not here, Nigeria, and others. But I do know that they were involved in a lot of the Group of 20, the lot of groundwork, the symposiums. They were brought together to create, to brainstorm the outcomes for declarations. But I do agree that many people have been left out of this. So we need to keep in prayer that what was happened is solid enough to carry us forward into a better future before the next G20, and that what declarations are made is taken up by countries and implemented into absolutely real programs for their communities, most especially the education and nutrition for children. For we know if a child is not hungry, they will be able to reach their full potential, and this will change Africa and the world. The G20 People Summit refers to two main events that are being held now in November in parallel with the official G20 Leaders Summit. So the Leaders Summit and the People Summit, and the G20 Social Summit and the civil society-led We, the 99% People Summit for Global Economic Justice. So the Social Summit, the G20 Social Summit, is an official engagement group event under the South African G20 presidency, designed to bring civil society voices into the G20 decision-making process. And it's to alleviate issues, its purpose is to alleviate issues of social development, equity and inclusion, ensuring global commitments are grounded in the lived experience of communities. The summit aims to incorporate diverse perspectives from youth groups, women organizations and grassroots communities into the final declaration presented to the G20 leaders. And that's more or less what we've been doing over the past few months. And then we, the 99% People Summit, organized by grassroots movements, and the Climate Justice Coalition is one of them, and the Fight Equality Alliance. This is a counter space event that challenges the G20 focus on elite interests. This is going to be at the Constitutional Hill in Johannesburg. And it's to demand global economic justice, focus on alternatives that serve humanity over markets, and build a global movement against inequality. The event includes debates, cultural performances, and the launch of a declaration from the 99% movement. Both summits are taking place around the same time and as the official G20 summit, as we know. Which is this 22nd and 23rd of November, this weekend coming up. So, a lot happening. I will be in Johannesburg next week, and I hope to be able to be part of the summit, the G20, and if not, I'll be following close at hand, and I hope you do too. I thank you for listening today, and I thank Radio Veritas for the platform where we can talk about Laudato Si, our journey on caring for our common home, and where together we work hand in hand, ensuring that we keep hope alive and that positive action comes out of all that we say and do.
Altísimo y omnipotente, buen Señor, tuyas son las alabanzas, la gloria y el honor. de nombrarte. Alabado seas mi Señor. Laudate. Es bello y radiante con gran esplendor. De ti, Altísimo, llevas.